Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are watching here with us as we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you again. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for Joseph R. Szymborski.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. So we gather for this first Sunday of Lent, like Jesus fasting and praying 40 days in preparation for his mission, we engage this period of fasting and prayer and almsgiving so as to empty ourselves, so as to turn our hearts more towards the Lord, to have a more listening ear for the needs of our neighbor. We call the Lord's blessings upon us as we engage in the season of preparation for Easter. Let's begin by humbling ourselves in the Lord's sight, admitting that we are sinners in need of God's mercy. I confess to Almighty God
and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "You may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Spirit from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give back to me the joy of your salvation. Let your willing Spirit bear me up, and I shall teach your way to the ones who have wandered, and bring them all home to your side. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin, after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? And the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned, for after one sin, there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift, after many transgressions, brought acquittal. For if by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" He answered him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Do you remember the Baltimore Catechism? I'm sure a lot of those in the outreach mass community will, if you're of a certain era. And of course, perhaps one of the questions that comes first to mind, of course, is that simple question, why did God make us? Why did God make us? And you know the answer. God made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. Classic answer. That really summarizes life, the spiritual life. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. What are we created for? We're created for union with God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are created with a capacity for love, and that love is not going to be satisfied if that love isn't directed towards the highest source of love. If it isn't directed towards God, it's going to be frustrated, and we're going to be frustrated, and we're going to cause ourselves suffering to the extent that we fail to recognize that we are created for God. We are created for unity with God. What does St. Augustine say about his own life after he's sought love in all the wrong places? St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God." We're created for unity with God. We can frustrate that all our whole lives long, but at the end of the day, that's what we're created for. And it's a beautiful end, it's a beautiful goal. Often, as I say, priority one, job one is becoming a saint. And again, becoming a saint isn't an end in itself for our own sake. Hey, look at me, how righteous I am, how good I am. Look at me, how holy I am. No, 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 no. We're not saints to be an end in ourselves. We're saints to glorify God. To be a saint means to seek God more and more each day, to love God more, to know God more, to serve God more, to conform our hearts and our minds and our wills to God's way. It's about surrender. It's about trust. It's about faith. It's about love. That's the spiritual life in a nutshell. We're created for union with God. And the litmus test for each and every day of our lives is, am I growing closer to God or am I more distant from God's will, God's ways, God's presence, spending time in prayer, serving God, even thinking about God? Do I pray more each day? Do I think of God more each day? Or is it the furthest thing from my mind because I'm so caught up in all these other things? The devil, being clever, tries to distract us. And sometimes his most clever distractions are good distractions, quote unquote. Oh, but you've got to take care of your responsibilities. Oh, you've got to attend to your work. Oh, you've got to attend to your family. You've got to attend to literally everything but yourself and your prayer life. Sometimes the devil even tries to distract us with all these things of goodwill, such that we have no time left to tend to the one thing that matters the most. As we say in Latin, nemo dat quod non habet, you can't give what you don't have. And if we don't tend to our spiritual lives first, we've got nothing to give. How are we going to share our lives? How are we going to share our faith? How are we going to share our witness? How are we going to be disciples who make other disciples, who invite people to conversion? They need to see Christ in us. And for that to happen, Christ has to be in us. Christ has to be the center. So the devil's always trying to distract us with a half-truth, maybe a good distraction, maybe get us too busy, a little too caught up in all the things of the world, even trying to do good things for people we love, but to the point of exhaustion, to the point that we stop praying and doing the things which are most essential to living well, even so as to burn us out, perhaps. So that a little apathy, a little indifference creeps in, and then pretty soon we're really not paying attention to God. These readings, as we start this first full week of Lent, are all about temptation. And it's not a bad thing to stop and see how this happens so that we can understand this little effect in our own spiritual lives. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, it's a weird, weird book. It's a series of his little writings, his little essays all come together about what temptation looks like. And it's fictional, but he's writing about it from the perspective of the dark side, from the kingdom below, trying to pull people in and draw them away from their virtue and the responsibilities and the relationship with God, to distract them from thinking holy thoughts, or to distract them from converting when they most need to. The minute that thought of conversion, of change, strikes them, quick, distract them with something. Quick, make sure that thought goes nowhere. It's an interesting read, C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. It's not bad to stop and contemplate how this happens in our lives so as to defend ourselves from it, to put on the armor of God, to protect ourselves, to know what the things that trip us up are. Where are the ways that we fall? When we confess the same things over and over again, and let's face it, we're creatures of habit, that happens, to think about what could I do a little differently to avoid that near occasion of sin, to avoid that fall, to avoid that slip up. What are the things that led me down that road, and can I intercept it somewhere before the sin comes to full blossom? Here we see in our readings the story of sin distorting our relationship with God from the very beginning, from the story of Adam and Eve, who fall for the lie, who eat of the fruit, who get kicked out of the garden. It destroys the relationships. Fourfold divisions of sin, right? It affects the relationship with God. It affects the relationship with each other. They start blaming each other. It certainly affects the relationship with themselves. Nobody becomes the best version of themselves as they grow in sin. And lastly, even nature turns on them. They get booted out of the garden. And then we have the story of Christ overcoming the tempter himself. And you get the feeling that Satan doesn't exactly know who he is. Maybe he's trying to get Jesus to show off a little bit, tempt his pride. If you are the Son of God, right? If you're the Son of God, prove it. Jesus doesn't need to prove it. And he doesn't need wealth or honor or power or pleasure or all those usual things that trip us up. He knows he's got a kingdom. The question is, do we, right? We've got a kingdom too. We're the sons and daughters of God. That's the part we need to remember a little bit more frequently. We don't need to fall for whatever the devil's peddling today or tomorrow. We've already got a kingdom and it's a better one. Nothing the devil's going to offer us in this world can we take with us at the end. And so Jesus doesn't fall for any of that. And so the devil goes away for a time and the angels minister to him. St. Paul, in that second letter, his letter to the Romans, describes this, says, you know, our first parents in their disobedience brought sin, and with sin, death, into the world. Because sin does violence to our relationship with the Lord of life. And whenever you push back against God, who is the creator, God, who is the very source of all life, you inevitably court suffering and loss and alienation and even death. Just comes, it's part of the package. You push back from the source of life. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? The wages of sin is death. That's it. But Paul says, but our hope is that by Jesus' one perfect act of obedience, he has conquered sin and death. But we've got to claim that gift of forgiveness. We've got to claim that gift of mercy. So it's important that we look at the temptations in our life in this Lenten season, that we fast or refrain from the things that trip us up continuously, put a little bit of a fence around them, simplify our lives, make more room for God and neighbor, and use this season well. Use this season well. Let me just say a few things about sin and temptation in our lives. Just because an evil thought occurs to you doesn't mean that that in itself is a sin. Just because some weird or perverse or hateful or lustful thought pops into our heads, it doesn't mean that that in itself is a sin. We don't have total control over every crazy thought that pops into our heads, right? And sometimes we're tired, and sometimes we're distracted, and sometimes we're not even paying attention to where our thoughts are going. Sometimes we're just off in la-la land, and we're a little distracted, and our mind goes down some weird rabbit hole. And before we know it, we're like, whoa, where did that just go? The minute we become aware that our mind has gone down some dark rabbit hole, that's the time, right? The minute we become aware of it, they're like, oh, ew. You know, oh, that's not right. That's a whole lot of not right. That's the time to nip it in the bud. That's the moment of decision. Oftentimes, our minds can go down weird, dark paths without us even paying attention to it. We're distracted. We're trying to, you know, do too many things at once. But the minute we become aware that, oh, this is weird. This is not right. That's the moment of decision. That's the moment we have to make the choice to reject it, or to consent to it, to continue to entertain it, to embrace it, even if we don't act on it, to somehow say yes to it, which is where the sin begins. The moment we become aware of it, that's the time to say, Lord Jesus, I repent of this, I renounce this. Just as Jesus says, right? Get away, Satan, right? It's the time to say, no, I reject this, I don't want any part in this. And it isn't easy, right? Sometimes we are tired. Sometimes we are distracted. Sometimes the thought, whatever it is, getting even with somebody, right? Causing them pain because they cause us pain. Or again, some delightful attraction that is sinful in nature that disrespects somebody else. Sometimes it is truly attractive. And so all the more reason that we have to invoke Jesus' holy name. We want to invoke a higher power because we know our weakness. We know that in moments of temptation, we don't tend to pray well. We don't pray easily. Sometimes we don't want to pray at all because we like the temptation. So that's the time to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me not to fixate on this. Even if it's a good thing, this is not the way to go about it. This is not the time, this is not the place, and I say no to this. Help me not to fixate on, and again, good things, right? Our human beauty, our human sexuality, they're good things in themselves. But it doesn't mean it's permissible for us to exploit that of others. It's a good thing in and of itself. We're grateful for the gift of human love. But Lord, help me not to fixate on it. We just got to invite God's grace. Now, let me say one more thing about this. Because we're human and we can be tired. And sometimes, again, we don't have great control of our thinking and our thoughts. And sometimes we just plain obsess over things. And just because we renounce or rebuke a temptation, it doesn't mean it's instantly going to go away. The temptation doesn't always have to be from the evil one. Sometimes it's a natural temptation. We don't always clearly see the source. Usually the more twisted and perverse it is, that usually tells you where it's coming from, right? But sometimes it can come from a natural source too, right? Whatever we saw leads us down a rabbit hole, a way of thinking, and our minds are fertile in their imagination. If you find that even though you've rebuked a temptation, it's still clinging to you a bit, and your mind just keeps going back to it, then I like to have a secondary prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I renounce this temptation. I want nothing to do with it. But I'm struggling today, and my mind keeps going back to this. I'm struggling to change the channel, mentally speaking. So, Lord, help me to not give in to this, to not entertain this, to have nothing to do with it, to just casually ignore it until it goes away. Because giving it more attention only makes us fixate on it worse, right? So sometimes you have to get rid of it very subtly by ignoring it, right? Don't focus on it. Just let it go away. Just pay it no heed whatsoever. Lord, you know I don't want to give in to this. I'm just going to have to ignore it, but it's going to keep coming back. Help me to accept this cross in atonement for my sins and the sins of the world. Why do I say that? A, because we're obsessive, right? We tend to be. It's human nature, right? If something's disturbing, you're probably going to think about it just because it caught your attention. So the more you can do to just ignore it, pay no attention to it whatsoever. I mean, tell the Lord, Lord, you know I'm struggling with this. You know I don't mean it. It's just there, and it's in the background, and I'm just going to ignore it until it goes away. You know I don't mean it. Help me not to fixate on it. But I love the idea of offering it up. Offer it up. Lord, I offer this suffering up in atonement for my sins and the sins of the world. Why? Because if for some reason this really is sent from the evil one to mess with you, to throw you off your game, to suck you down the rabbit hole of some temptation of evil, you flip the tables on the evil one by offering it up. Because now, if you in faith suffer this temptation in atonement for sins, if the devil really presses the attack, he's going to lose. You see how that flips the table a little bit? In goodwill, when you offer things up, trying not to cooperate with it in any sense, but offering it up by the fact that it's bouncing around your head and it is messing with your peace of mind, by the fact that you offer this cross up, if it really is the devil pressing the attack, in some sense, the more he presses the attack, the more merit you gain, the more atonement you gain by offering it up. You're flipping the tables on him, right? Let me say one more thing about flipping the tables a little bit in the spiritual world. It's one thing to fall into our temptations and sin. Does that serve the devil? Yes. Yes, it does. Fair enough. But that's not his major action. That's not his major work, right? Having been a confessor for the better part of 20 years, I can tell you that, frankly, in our own human weakness, most of our sins, we would fall into gladly and trip over our own feet in doing so, right? The devil doesn't have to give us much of a push. The real masterwork of the devil is the discouragement. It's the shame. It's the doubt. It's the despair. It's what keeps you from confessing it and making it right. That's the masterwork, right? It's one thing to sin. But let's be honest, Jesus loves you. He adores you. He died for your salvation and the salvation of the whole world. He will always take you back if you're repentant. Always, always, always. I don't care who you killed. No matter the gravity of it, he will always take you back if you seriously repent. The devil knows that. And so the real masterwork of the devil is not just to get you into sin. He doesn't profit unless he can keep you in the sin. And the only way he can keep you in the sin is by getting you not to repent and not to confess it and to not claim his mercy. And so the real masterwork of the devil is to get you to be embarrassed, to confess that sin. Oh, that's the sin I can't talk about. That's so humiliating. That's so shameful. And again, when you talk about sexual sins and other things, that's never easy to confess. I get you. Those things are embarrassing. Go behind the screen, right? Change your voice. You know, I don't care. Only God has to know. You can use the Batman voice if you want, right? I don't care. I don't have to know who you are. It only matters that Jesus does. Don't play into that temptation. Come right back. Even come back and confess it while your temptation is starting to grow and you feel yourself starting to slip. Hey, confess it before you fall. Once you bring the temptation to the light, you see it clearly, you get graces from the sacrament to avoid it. Half the time you will avoid a fall by confessing it when you find yourself leaning towards a certain sin that you have a certain habit for. It makes a world of difference. Confess it in advance. You'll avoid the fall, guarantee. But get right back up. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. And then 6 months becomes a year, becomes 2 years, becomes 25. Right? Don't play that game. That's the game the devil wants you to play. That it's just going to go away. No, no. No, the Lord's going to ask you about all this in the judgment, right? It's not going away. Jesus doesn't want to condemn anyone. He doesn't want to even punish anyone. He wants to forgive and heal everyone. Give him the chance. Trust his mercy. Give him the chance. Get right back up. If the devil's going to discourage you because you fell into the same old sin for the umpteenth time, flip the tables. Return the favor of discouragement by getting right back up and confessing it and embracing God's mercy and celebrating God's love and mercy for you and discouraging the evil one. Get right back up. If he's going to discourage you by your sinfulness, return the favor. Get right back up and confess it. Go to confession even more frequently. That discouragement game can go both ways. That can be a two-way street. The devil's going to remind you of your past. Remind him of your future. Get right back up and go to confession. And I know with the Outreach Mass, for some who are homebound, it's a little bit more of a struggle. Sometimes you need a little help to get there, or you need to invite Father over to your senior residence or your home. It might take a little more preparation. I gotcha. It's Lent. We're here for you. Make the time. Get it right. Get it off your chest. This is a season of God's grace and mercy and new life, and Jesus wants to heal your defection. He wants to heal your sin. He wants to heal your guilt and take away your shame, and you have no idea how much he wants to do that. He doesn't want us to be tempted. He doesn't want us to be caught up in our sins. He doesn't want us to be unhappy away from him, taken away by our sins. He wants to heal that. He wants us to be happy, and we're not going to be happy until we're united with him in this world and the next. That's what we're made for. That's it. That's the spiritual life in a nutshell. Draw closer to the Lord. the joy of the Lord, you will see it in the fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, mildness, self-control, chastity. 12 fruits of the Spirit. Who doesn't want that? You want to be happier? 12 fruits of the Spirit. Draw closer to the Spirit. That's it. It's the secret to life. It's the secret to life eternal. It's right before us. May this be a beautiful Lent for you all. For whatever we're wrestling with, bring it to the Lord. Confess it. Use your Lenten fasting to disarm some of the near occasions of sin in your life. It's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you peace. It's going to help you to grow and to see progress in your life. And again, not that you're going to get over everything, your struggles, your bad habits instantly, but just making a little bit of progress is so encouraging. It's so encouraging. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God's love and mercy for you. Let us stand and profess that faith which unites us as one in the Lord these 2,000 years. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world. Mindful of our needs this day, let us bring them before God.
For Pope Francis and all bishops around the world, may the Lord guide them in their mission to bring Christ to all. Let us pray to the Lord. For government leaders, may the Holy Spirit guide them in placing the needs of their people before their own. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who struggle with physical or spiritual hunger, may the Lord provide for them with abundance. Let us pray to the Lord. For this faith community and our quest to grow in service to the Lord, may God give us strength and perseverance. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who struggle with physical illness, our television, radio, and online community, Michelle Trivieri, Kenneth Judd, Father Mike Murray, the injured MSU students, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who have died in the light of faith, especially the three MSU students, Peter James DeRose, Gwen Ulrich, Amelia Guzman, Denise Fleschner, and all the holy souls in purgatory. May the Lord bring them to the light of eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty Father, you created us out of love and called us to serve you in this world. Hear our prayers, we ask, through your Son, Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Parce Domine, parce popula tua, ne in eternum iras caris nobis. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your merciful love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Parce Domine, parce popula tuo, ne in eternum iras caris nobis. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Parce Domine, parce popula tuo, ne in eternum iras caris nobis. Transgressions, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Parce Domine, parce popula tuo, ne in eternum iras caris nobis.
Let us stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord, by abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance, and by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness, make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, and all of the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all of the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be saved. Let us stand and pray. Renewed now with heavenly bread, by which faith is nourished, hope increased, and charity strengthened, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
may Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
And let us go for singing 788, Come and Journey with a Savior, 788.
Happy New Year to you all. At the conclusion of January, January 28th, we celebrate the memorial of St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm standing in front of his statue here right behind me. He is our parish patron. He is also the patron to students, which is very appropriate as our parish has a school and we are in East Lansing, which is the community of Michigan State University. And so we seek the patronage of St. Thomas Aquinas, who so brilliantly explained the faith. And we are also grateful not only for his patronage, but for all of our Outreach Mass community, our supporters and benefactors. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts, small and large. You help us to stay on the air so that we can continue to share the good news with all those who most need to hear the word of God. If you are able to send a contribution, please do so to 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. If you're interested in a bequest or a legacy gift, send us an email and we will put you in contact with our advancement director. Thank you again for keeping us on the air. Thank you for helping us to share the good news. We're grateful again for the patronage of St. Thomas Aquinas and we're grateful for you. May God bless and keep you.